sure my mic is on. Good morning to everybody. Sure appreciate the chance to come here and to speak to you this morning. I retired about a little over 6 years ago, and before I retired, I had to work a lot of overtime, and because of that, my house was kind of in disrepair because I spent most of my time working, and had a lot of rot in the wood, and I had a lot of paint falling off, and a lot of things need to be repaired. So I got my old paintbrushes, and you know how paintbrushes get when you use them a while. They get kind of squidgy around the edges. But I bought some good paint. You know, you can buy pretty cheap paint if you want to, but if you go out and get the good stuff, that you might pay $50 a gallon for it, but it's good. It works. It lasts. And I'm kind of like that old paintbrush. I'm kind of squidgy around the edges, and I got some old paint on me, and it may not look so good, but if you take the paint, which is a pure word of God, which is like a beautiful, completely pure paint, and you can paint beautiful things with that. So I hope this morning to bring you a few words from God, from God's Word, and to hopefully to encourage you a little bit this morning. In the book of James chapter 1, this is verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is verse 25 through 26. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." I think I read that wrong. "They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Why are we on this earth? Why are we here? What's the reason? Why did God put us here? You know, life is short, and you don't really understand that too much until you start getting a little older. And you start to look behind you and see the things that's gone by. And then stop and think about how fast things have gone by, how quick life is going by. And to realize, you know, that we're not going to be here forever, just for a time. I can't really explain to you how short life is, but the scriptures say many places that we're like a mist that appears for a little while. I go out sometimes and in the morning walking, and I see the factories and they're putting off the steam. And it's no sooner as they get up in the air good, it disappears. And that's the way we are. We're just like a mist that appears for a while and then it's gone. So life is very short. This is a scripture from Job, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 2. "He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." One time I made the mistake to compare life to a pizza. What I said was, you know, life is like this pizza. If you look at a pizza, you know, you see all these slices and kind of what I told them was, you know, we're getting down to a few slices left. You know, if you look at the pizza, we only have a few left. And people didn't like that because it kind of gave them an idea as to, you know, that life is not, you know, that we could be drawing closer to the end. And we really are. I mean, if you think of life as a pizza, you know, you're down to I'm down to a few slices and maybe a pepperoni or two. I don't know. But I really feel like that life is short. And I know some people came to me after that and said, you know, don't compare life to a pizza anymore. So anyway, I didn't listen to them. You can tell that. What do we do with our time? What do you do with your time? Do you work?
And I stop and think about my career working for a plant. And especially towards the end, I put a lot of time in. And it can take a lot of our time, just our occupations. Do we spend time playing? You know, we like to recreate, and that's good for us. We need to recreate. We need to do things that are fun. Do we spend a lot of time doing that? Or maintaining things, like fixing up my old house and fixing all those rotten spots and doing all that painting. Do we spend time doing that? But do you ever really, like I say, wonder why? What's the reason for life? Why did God create the earth? Why did He put us here? What's the plan? Why are we here? Is there a reason for life? Why does God spend so much time maintaining the earth? You know, this earth is balanced, completely perfect. We're traveling around a giant sun, and we're traveling at thousands of miles an hour. And this earth has to keep turning. And this earth has to maintain us. And this earth has to have air, oxygen for us to breathe, water for us to drink, and all the things that make life. God is doing this. God is keeping all this working. Why? Why? What's the point of it? Why did He put us here, and why does He maintain all of this? What's the reason? Why did God do it? Why is He doing it now? You know, what's the chance of us actually being born? People don't stop to think that the race that you run, you know, even being conceived, it's highly unlikely for human existence to start with. I looked it up. I Googled it to see what the Google would say about what the chances were of the earth ever existing to start with. Of course, we know God created it all. But you know what it said? Zero. It couldn't happen on its own. God had to do it. If God didn't do it, it wouldn't have been done. There's no chance of it happening in any other way. Should we be aware of the reason we're here? Should we think about that? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful unto the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. I would like to talk this morning just a little bit about that crown, about the crown that God has promised us. And I'd also like to describe some of the things that I want us to try our best to remember as a crown that we have. Revelation 3:11-12. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Christians have beautiful aspects of their life in Christ. As we live our lives, God refines us. You think about refining, you know, you think about iron ore, or think about gold ore, and you put it into a fire, and it goes through different processes, and when you get done, you have the pure gold, you know, apart from the ore. And God refines us like that. God does things to us in our life that causes us to lose the bad things and to keep the good things so that we can be pure before Him. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. God also shapes us. He molds us. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. Like clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God shapes us during our life. The short time that we're here on this earth, God shapes us, and He molds us, and He makes us the way that He wants us to be if we follow Him. God illuminates us. gives us light. He puts light in us and lights us up like a light bulb. He gives us light that's in us. Matthew 5, this was from the Sermon on the Mount, verses 14 through 15. And you all know this. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. So to remind us, to try to get us to remember this, we talked about memory in Bible class this morning. And to give us something to think about, I'd just like for you to think about this morning a beautiful crown. If you think about a crown, if you've ever seen a crown, they're usually made of a precious metal, gold or silver, and they have points on them, and they usually have engraving on it, and usually has very beautiful ornaments on it. But you know, regardless of what we do on this earth, there's only some things you take with you. What are these things? Is it possessions? Can we take our possessions with us when we leave here? 1 Timothy 6:6-7, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Is it our memories? Do we take our memories with us when we leave? You ever thought about that? Do we take our memories with us? Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. I don't know for sure, but that sounds like maybe some of our memories won't go with us when He wipes our tears away. I don't know for sure. Will we take the spiritual qualities that we gain on this earth with us? And if we do, how do we get these spiritual qualities to take with us? Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Are we talking about physical things here? Is this a physical thing, these white clothes and these gold refined in the fire and the salve to put on your eyes? Is that a physical thing? Or is that a spiritual thing? If we compare our spiritual lives and the achievements that we're gaining on this earth to a crown, I hope that that'll help us this morning to remember this lesson and take it with you so that you can think about it. 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is another scripture from Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. There's other things that I'd like to talk about that we can compare and think about as this crown that we have. There's a quality that I call stick-with-itness. We might call it perseverance. And that's a beautiful jewel in our crown that we wear as a Christian, in our spiritual crown. If you think very vividly about this crown and you think about that jewel, that stick-with-itness jewel, the perseverance jewel that makes up part of our crown, we need this jewel to be complete, lacking nothing. Many successful people in this world realize that if you're going to be successful at anything, you have to have stick-with-itness. You have to have that keep going, don't stop idea in your mind. Why do we fail? Why do we fail in this world? Why can't we not get what we want or need? What will assure our success? Many Christians have given up. I quit. I'm done. Have you ever seen it happen? Have you ever seen a Christian give up? This could be one of the most disheartening things that you've ever seen. I've seen it. And it's bad. And I've seen what happens. I've seen what happens to these people when they give up. What it leads to. How their life goes down. And I've seen the end of their lives. John 6, verse 66-69. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I used to know a man. Some of you may have known him. His name was Joe Owens. So Joe Owen. And he used to use these words all the time. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. We need to listen to this advice. Keep on keeping on. We need to summons all our courage. We need to summons all our willpower. And we need to spread this word to those around us. Keep on keeping on. And I want you to think about that thought, that stick-with-itness jewel that's in our crown. Keep on keeping on. When you think about this sermon, think about that crown and think about that jewel right in the middle. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop. It's a very beautiful stone in the crown of a Christian. Paul fought to the end of his life. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. If you know much about Paul, if you study much about Paul, he penned most of the New Testament, but he did it under extreme adverse conditions. The places he went and the things that he did and the experiences that he had and the torture and the troubles was unending. But he kept on. He kept going. He kept on keeping on. And he stuck with it. There's other jewels in our crown. The jewel of faith. The jewel of hope. The jewel of love. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. An earthly crown is of little good to us. From what I understand, what I've read, David's crown weighed 75 pounds. I would hate to try to wear that. It will tarnish. Could be stolen. It would become old hat. Well, I thought about becoming old hat, and I thought crown, hat. Somebody hit me. Could become old hat. It could be something that you lose interest in. Our heavenly crown is different than that, though. It's easy to wear. It stays new forever. And it can never be stolen. And it will never become old hat. It will always be new and exciting. It will always be wonderful. This earth has a lot of treasures, but it can't compare to the promises that God has made us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a song that I like to talk about. I'm not exactly sure who wrote it, but I know I like it. It talks about a crown. I'd like to just to read you the words to this song. There's a crown for your cross. I'm sure some of y'all are familiar with it. There's a crown for your cross when the teardrops that stray will be driven forever away, where the cares that oppress will at last be laid down. You'll be given a beautiful crown. There's a crown for your cross when the daylight shall dawn, when the night's dreary shadows are gone. You will meet with glad smiles and never a frown. You'll be given a beautiful crown. There's a crown for your cross when the sweet flowers grow on the banks where the bright waters doth flow, where the Savior awaits at the beautiful gate. You'll be given a beautiful crown. There's a crown for your cross. There is gain for your loss. You'll be given a crown for your cross. There's a beautiful crown when your cross is laid down. You'll be given a beautiful crown. There's a crown for your cross and the power divine. There's a love all around. You will shine. Where the cross for the crown is forever laid down, you'll be given a beautiful crown. They say there's nothing like a good seasoned preacher, and I am nothing like a good seasoned preacher. But I sure appreciate you listening to me this morning. And I hope the lesson will stick with you, that you'll see this crown in your mind, and it'll stick with you and go with you through the day. And you'll think about this beautiful jewel in the center, which is the stick-with-itness jewel. Stick with it. Don't give up. Keep going. All success is based on not quitting. Keep going. I'd like to ask you this morning, and I'm sure the elders would agree with this, if anyone's here this morning who has not put on the Lord in baptism, has not been baptized into Christ, the invitation is open for that, and you're welcome to come forward for that. Do you need the prayers of the church? You know, a lot of times it's easy to just stand there and not come forward when the song is sung. You're offered this invitation for the prayers of the church. But I know from experience that the prayers of the church are powerful, and they change lives. Not too long ago, I went forward for the prayers of the church. And the wife followed me on up. She came up too. And we both asked for the prayers of the church. And it seemed like that prayer wasn't going to be answered for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, God answered that prayer. And all I can do is thank God for that. And that's what He does. God answers prayers. And don't be ashamed or afraid to come before your brethren and ask them for prayers. Because, you know, they love you just as much as you can't even believe how much your Christian brothers love you and care about you. And they would be glad to pray for you if you have any type of something that's bothering you. You know, sometimes I tell a lot of the teenagers this. I say, you know, if something is important to you, it's important to God. And a lot of times people think, well, my problems are not important to God. But if it's important to you, it's important to God. And if you are offered an invitation to come up and get the prayers of the church, that's a wonderful thing. Don't ever be afraid to come. Once you step out in the aisle, that's it. You'll be up the front in no time. If you need the prayers, please, please come. And if you need to speak to one of the elders, I'm sure if you want to speak to one of them privately, I'm sure one of them would be glad to speak to you and talk to you about things that may be troubling you or things that you need in your life. And even if it's something that you know, you think, well, maybe nobody's interested in, God is interested in it. Because if it concerns you, it concerns Him. Before we sing our invitation song, I'm going to leave you with two more scriptures, and then I'll step down. This is Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is Hebrews 10:35-37. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. May God bless you.